Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the first chapter. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers, for not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The flags here at the headquarters of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are at half-mast today. Still, because of the loss and terrible events, deaths of last week, there is never an excuse for Christians or others for personal violence, aggression, mayhem, murder. They are never right. How do Christians respond? In the left-hand kingdom, that is in government and taking part in elections and participating in governing bodies and paying taxes and all those kind of things, we participate and act justly. It's like the soldiers and the tax collectors who came to John the Baptizer and Jesus. And Jesus, or John the Baptizer, baptizes them or calls them to repentance and then says, act justly. Do your job in a just and fair way. He doesn't ever tell them, get out of that business of the government. Jesus summed up the two realms or two kingdoms this way. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. What's the power of the church at a moment like this? Well, there's a real temptation for the church to become political, politicized. There's a famous saying that Jesus will never fly in on Air Force One when he returns. What power does the church have? Should the church become politically activist? Should the church spend its days trying to act politically or coerce political action out of its members? Well, no. We do stand and confess as citizens, and sometimes corporately, we've said things in the Missouri Synod to the left-hand kingdom about the value of all life, whether the unborn or the value of all races, and that there's really one human race, and we're all accountable to God and all valued by Him. and that all laws should reflect these kind of things. But that's not our power. It's very easy for the world to ignore us. They will continue to do so. What's the power of the church? Well, Paul tells us the power of God is foolishness to men. We preach Christ the crucified one. And that is folly to the world. The crucified Christ is our power. There, when Christ was on a cross, dying for the sins of the world, is power. It's God's power. It's God's way. It's God's action in this world, often hidden under the most difficult weakness, suffering, defeat, loss. And yet Christ crucified the power and wisdom of God. Indeed, we believe in the resurrected Christ, but he is not seen. He was seen briefly by a few witnesses and then ascended into heaven. Our task is to proclaim the Christ crucified. He is God's wisdom, the wisdom that saves the world from its sins. That is our message, a Savior for everybody. Christ's holiness is ours, the text says, and redemption, buying back. Christ through his cross bought us back, all of us, every one of us. That is God's power and wisdom. Last Sunday, we celebrated the baptism of Christ for Epiphany. What a strange thing that God appears and speaks. God the Father speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son." And the dove descends. The Holy Spirit is present as the Spirit was present in creating all things at the beginning. And the eternal Word, the Son of God made flesh, stands in the water and is baptized. Luther says, Christ sticks himself in the water so that when we go into the water of baptism, we pull Christ out with us. And then the New Testament teaches that a handful of water combined with the Word of God, go therefore, baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That eternal wisdom is for all peoples, all nations, and all times. That is our strength. And Paul also notes something else that is a strength in these times. The New Testament does not direct us to be political activists. It certainly directs what the church should do. It encourages all of us to participate in government and bring rationality to government and decency and justice as we do so. But it doesn't command the church to act in the civil realm. What Paul does say to the church and all Christians is something that appears to be utter foolishness and weakness to the world. He says, pray. And he says that in numerous places in the New Testament, but very clearly in 1 Timothy 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a peaceful and godly life and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. What is our primary task? Sure, to be good citizens and act appropriately. But as Christians, as the church, our primary task is to pray for our leaders. And we continue to do so day by day, week by week, confident that the Lord who asks us to pray hears us as we pray and answers our prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the Reverend Eric and Johanna Stenett, who served the Lord in Ethiopia. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.